sat together and done something together. So I'm quite excited to see how two Davids in a room for 6 hours or so actually works out.
That's right. That's it's a lot of David for you today to handle. That's right. The key part for you also, technical product manager.
Technical product manager.
The technical part is key, yes.
Yeah, very technical product manager. I wish I could do that.
Yeah, all right. Well, of course, topics for the day. We have 12 modules, despite what that says. Number four, you could say part 4.1 and part 4.2. We have Active Directory and Windows Azure Active Directory. We got a few breaks in there, and because we got a lot to cover today. So we have a lot to unpack for you with Windows Azure.
Yeah, and the first half, really, we're going to set you up and give you all the background and basics that you need to kind of follow along in the afternoon, where we really bring all everything together and show you what you can do with that. Can I get that up there? And then the camera on.
We just so you know, we are, yeah, see, we do exist. We are not just slides.
Hey.
We have to also set your expectations, right? So for the audience today, if you are a hardcore developer, you might benefit from today if you want to utilize the underlying infrastructure services that's there under Windows Azure, but we're really focused on all of you folks out there who deal with the infrastructure, the networks, the VMs, that you're architecting infrastructure, or possibly just, right, maybe extending your data center. Right?
Yeah,
there's
absolutely
all kinds of scenarios.
Totally. I'm only looking confused because my monitor, it's just come back on. Thank you.
There it is. It's alive.
It's powerful
alive.
Magic.
All right. And, you know, as far as what are our expectations of your knowledge for the day, well, we hope that you have some basic knowledge of Windows Server, because we're not going to be really explaining things, but we're going to be firing up VMs and things like that. So just kind of basic admin-type functionality is all we're really requesting of you. And then things like Active Directory, where we dive into the roles, we'd expect you to not, you know, what is Active Directory?
Yeah,
I don't know what
a
domain controller
off.
Is. You might get lost, because we're just going to dive in and show you how to get it done with Windows Azure. Some of the modules will be spread in throughout as far as how you learn, go to additional resources as we go through the slides.
Absolutely.
The other thing I want to make sure you know about is the Microsoft Virtual Academy. And some of you probably already know about this because you maybe saw this Jumpstart advertised via there, but there are a ton of free structured learning courses there for you to learn about. And there's a number of courses there today that even relate directly to some of the topics that we're touching on if you want to dive deeper. We have over 1 million users. You can also get points. So, I know that all of you love badges and points, right? And
points? Can I get points?
You could even get points,
awesome.
Right? I don't know how many points we get when we're a presenter, but I'm hoping that maybe more than 50. I'm not sure, right?
I think 5,000 would be good as a presenter.
5,000?
Yeah, what do you get if you get points?
I don't know. Hey, guys, what do we get for presenting for MVA?
Happies and smiles. You level up.
Awesome. You level up. You level up to the next
level of presenter that gets nothing.
Well, the next MVA person, right?
Okay.
Whatever the badge of awesomeness,
yes.
Right? Okay, there we go.
I started off pretty low, so...
Okay.
I could do with points.
There you go. Take advantage of your voucher. And, with that, we are going to start off with the first module today.
Yeah, let's get going.
Yeah.
And I'm going to drive the slides with this. So
that's
my screen. I think we kind of, when we were sitting down planning this out, we figured it would be good to give you guys and gals a little context of why cloud. So we thought in the first module we would just go through a little bit of kind of why Windows Azure, what it can do for you, and then give you a bit of a broader overview of the platform at a kind of high level. We're not going to dig into all of the Windows Azure platform today. We're really focusing on the story for IT pros. So in this module, we kind of want to give you a look at everything else that is in there. So kind of we always kind of think, why consider the cloud? What can it do for you? And talking with customers, there's always a few things that come up. And speed, scale, and economics are a couple of things that always come up. And there's lots of variations around speed. We can talk about how fast we can deploy things. We can talk about how fast we can onboard applications and resources and servers. We can talk about how fast we can respond to changes in the scale requirements of the application or the changes of the business requirements of the applications. Scale is always a funny one because not everyone needs to go and handle 100 million users. Sometimes you just need to have a server running and so people can kind of file their expenses. And a lot of people go, oh, the cloud's just people who need to build big websites and I run enterprise IT and we have 10,000 employees and we'll always have 10,000 employees. We'll never suddenly have a million employees kind of thing. But scale can be really kind of at the micro level. And switching between one and two servers to three and four servers, it doesn't need to be millions and millions. And then finally, there's the economics. And what's quite interesting around the economics there is that we have this kind of shift from paying for things up front or CapEx costs and then moving across into a kind of OpEx. So, you know, if we're provisioning servers and building out infrastructure, there's a sunk cost at the start. And with Windows Azure, a lot of this turns into a CapEx cost, which can kind of be a benefit because you can get started really quickly and not have to worry about, oh, we've got to wait until servers arrive and all that kind of thing. Downside of that is now you've got to manage this reoccurring cost, where previously you just spend a bunch of money up front, now you're kind of every month you're going to get a bill and you've got to kind of manage that. There's some great flexibility in using Windows Azure. We're not paying for everything you might possibly need. You only have to pay for the resources that you consume as you consume them. So it's like paying for minutes in a cell phone package.
Yeah, and the other thing, you know, I like to talk about there too is, you know, I show people sometimes that video of the big trucks, right?
Yes.
Because you know, most folks don't have the kinds of data centers that we have, right? We invest billions upon billions into our data centers, and it's no longer that story of, hey, I've got a rack of servers, and let's install a new rack inside of our data center. It's, I've got a big trailer
yeah.
with this huge container that's got thousands of servers in it. They drop that container off, and they plug in the power, they plug in the network cable,
yeah.
right, the cooling,
and we're away.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, that kind of scale and that kind of economy of scale and efficiency for cost, that's something that, you know, we pass on to you, right?
Absolutely.
You know, we continue to reduce the prices on
yeah.
the resources as we scale and we realize those savings and we pass those on to you.
Yeah,
right?
And the cost of running thousands and thousands of servers. With the automation that we have with Windows Azure, just makes it really cost effective. I remember kind of, you know, racking up, putting a new rack in was a big job, right? I mean,
yeah.
it was like, there was a good chunk of your year planning out this, securing the hardware, getting the PLs opened, having everything arrive, unboxing, racking servers and all that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was a big, huge kind of task to go and do. And now I can do the same with a little bit of PowerShell and have the same impact within 2 or 3 minutes, and it's profound, the kind of change. However, you know, all this is great, but there's still some challenges that IT have with kind of thinking about cloud. And a few that we hear, one in particular is, you know, I have all this existing IT infrastructure. I'm not going to throw away everything I already have. I might still have an AS400. I might still have some kind of servers around. Oh, my gosh. So we're not kind of saying, you know what, Windows Azure is going to replace everything. We really think about kind of your data center and our data center as being a kind of enabler where we can join the two together and actually do some pretty impressive things and solve some pretty impressive business problems. So I want you to think all through this as and we spend a lot of time showing how you can kind of connect the two worlds together. Another one is, you know, we're Microsoft, we're Windows, but that's not the whole IT story. I do believe that two or three of you actually run other operating systems. And for those two or three people that do, Windows Azure actually supports running things like Linux. We also have the ability in the kind of services world to support other platforms like PHP, Node.js, Java, and so on. You can also use all of the tooling from a non-Windows machine. So if you're an Apple Mac user or using a Linux distro, you can actually do all the things we're going to show you today. There's kind of not a kind of tie-in with the Microsoft here. And the last thing is around security and compliance. And this comes up a lot because, I don't know about you, David, but when I can walk into the data center and I can put my arms around the server, I feel good. I feel safe and happy.
You
and
feel
I get a
happy.
Warm smile on my face. And you can stroke the server and you know, and you know, Karen, who let you in, you employed her. You did the background checker on everything.
Yeah.
And now we're kind of like, hey, just run it in this data center. And it's in the East U.S., so you're not even quite sure where it is, but you should just trust us.
That's the Jedi mind trick, right?
Yeah.
No.
These aren't the data centers you're looking for.
Well, no. Well, the other thing, right, I mean, is you have your own data center, and, I mean, I know that all of you, right, have armed guards with barbed wire fences and identity scans and all of that to get into everything, right? That's just...
Absolutely.
Right?
I was talking to a friend who's a CTO, and he says, it's great, my data center, I can walk in with a USB drive and copy anything I like, and none of the staff that I pay or have employed will kind of stop me. I can't get into your data center. However, you know, there's some kind of good things, but also, are we doing the right thing? Do we have the right kind of processes and controls in place? And it's very hard for us to let you come along and just have a look around our data center to see if it's a good place and have we employed the right people and did we actually lock the door on the way out. So we worry a lot about compliance, and the way the industry deals with this is really through gaining certifications, industry certifications. So in Windows Azure, we're constantly evaluating our policies and procedures and processes and adding new certifications as we kind of work through. So we have things like ISO 27001, SSAE 16, I always butcher that one, HIPAA, BAA, and over time we'll expand and add more and more on. And this is a great way for you to feel comfortable about our kind of security procedures and things, and know that's an independent auditor has come in and kind of verified things.
And if you want to know more, we're not going to really dive deeper into security today, but if you would like to know more about security, I'd highly recommend going to the Windows Azure Trust Center. That gives you tons of information on all the different certifications that we have, all the things we're doing in security. There's links also to the global a team that runs all of our data centers, and they have lots of documentation on how they run things, how they manage things, and so forth.
Absolutely. So, you know, we think Windows Azure provides the right level of integration, the right tools and technologies and services to kind of allow you to extend your data center. We're not saying, hey, move to the public cloud here. We're saying, look at the public cloud. There's a whole bunch of things that it can help enable in your business, and we're saying you should kind of go and look at that. We're open enough that you shouldn't have any blockers using different platforms or technologies, whether it's Linux or Java or PHP. We support all that. And we'll show you some of these things as we go through today, but we're not going to spend a great deal of time doing Linux because, quite frankly, I would be lost once it was installed, being the Microsoft guy. And as David said, it's always funny that, as David said, was it me or was it him?
I don't know.
The Trust Center on WindowsAzure.com is totally the place to go, and that's the place we keep up to date with all of our security certifications and links to guidance and so on. So let's talk a little bit about Windows Azure, and Windows Azure really is Microsoft's public cloud platform. It is it has a global footprint. So we have currently 8 data centers worldwide. There's always a little bit of me that counts the dots in my head, but there's 8. We have 4 in the US, and they are north and south and east and west, bizarrely enough. We have 2 in Europe. I always make a joke because one of them is west and one of them is north. And when you look at the map, it's not quite sure which one's more west and which one should be called north. And then we have 2 in Asia. As well. And these data centers operate in pairs. And later on we'll talk about things like geo-replication, but we've defined these in pairs so we have some redundancy. These data centers aren't your kind of mom and pop shops. We don't have a couple of racks above a bakery in the UK or something like that. These are big facilities, and David mentioned, you know, we don't quite buy servers in racks anymore. And in fact, I talk to customers and I say, how many servers do you typically buy? And they're like, oh, you know, on a good day, we might buy, you know, 20, 30 servers and kind of rack them up. And I'm like, that's nice. We buy containers full and we might buy 20, 30 containers and deploy those. So there's an order of magnitude difference in our operations around that. We also have a global CDN, content delivery network, 24 edge points worldwide. And this is great for application developers working with media. We can actually help you cache content on the edge and make sure that content's next to your customers. We have global support. We're Microsoft. We do 24/7/365 support. We're in 76 markets worldwide. And, you know, whilst Azure's fairly new, Microsoft operating kind of cloud services and products at scale isn't new. And even if we go to just something as simple as Windows Update, and I've totally trivialized Windows Update saying it was simple, right? But being able to deploy updates to every single Windows PC on the planet on Patch Tuesday isn't just a couple of servers running in a barn somewhere. There's a lot of infrastructure and knowledge build up over that. We run Hotmail, Outlook.com, Xbox Live, even just Bing, Microsoft.com. All those properties are big cloud-scale products, even before we kind of had the term cloud. So there's a lot of industry experience across the board that comes together in Windows Azure. In fact, a lot of the innovations in Windows Azure actually comes back down into the on-premises versions of the software as well, particularly with some of the features in Windows Server 2012. And then, as well as the support, we also have a great kind of global network of account teams. So you're never really very far away from a Microsoft person to go and either have a chat about adopting cloud or putting your foot on their neck when you need help with something. Both variable scenarios.
And to hit on that a little more, I mean, the one thing that's a little unique is the fact that if you decide you want to run workloads on Windows Azure, you have one place to call, right? Because if you put, let's say, SharePoint on Windows Azure and VMs up there, and you're not sure if it's something wrong with the infrastructure or with SharePoint, you call Microsoft, right? You don't have to call multiple people.
It's one place to go and get support from, and it's not, well, it could be SharePoint, so you should call Microsoft, or it could be this. So you call Microsoft, and if you have a support contract, you're just going to go ahead and use that same support contract, and you're going to get help all the way through from the infrastructure in Windows Azure all the way through to the operating system and into the applications and the workloads as well. So it's a great kind of benefit there. And then just in terms of support in countries, I think we're in 109 countries and 19 currencies, if I remember that rightly. And that means you're just not paying for everything in dollar. You can pay with the Great British Pound, which I believe is a better way of paying for anything.
You're a little biased, though, aren't you?
Not really. So on top of that, so that's the global infrastructure. And in all of these data centers, we typically have the same set of services. And the way to think about these services is kind of building blocks. And I'm never quite sure to use the Lego or the plastic toy analogy or the more modern analogy of Minecraft.
There you go.
And my kids are like, Dad, this is just like Minecraft. And I go, but this is just like Lego. And they go, it's the same thing, Dad. And I go, okay.
Well, wait, no. Minecraft doesn't equal Lego. No.
But it's building blocks.
But according to our slides, as you're going to see in a bit, though, it could also be memory sticks, right? Little micro SD cards fitting together?
Maybe. Do we do memory sticks?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I don't know.
All right.
So we've got all these services anyway, and we've got infrastructure services, and we're going to spend a lot of the time in the next 75,000 hours talking about the infrastructure services. We also have a set of data services, and we'll touch on those a little bit in the next kind of 10, 20 minutes, and some application services. And you kind of take these and combine them together to form applications. So we could take, say, for example, cloud services, caching, identity, and some storage, and kind of use those to build an application that solves a particular business problem. equally, we could go and take virtual machines, virtual networks, and the VPN connection and assemble those together and actually connect them back to on-premises and allow us to go and extend our data center and deploy workloads into Windows Azure. And kind of, if there's one way to think about today, it's we're going to focus pretty much 90% on the infrastructure side of things. Mm-hmm. Probably.
Probably. There's a number of pieces there, right, that fit into different layers. So, for instance, cloud services, as you'll see, a cloud service is a container for even virtual machines, so there is some cross-connect here. But coming up next, we're going to dig more into that, right?
So we've talked through a million slides already. Let's go and switch into the demo machine, and I want to give you a quick kind of whistle-stop tour of Windows Azure. So this is my Windows Azure demo account, and I've actually deleted everything, which causes us a problem later when we have to show you things we've already built, but we'll worry about that. And this is kind of what you'll see when you first get into Windows Azure. And just a little bit of orientation, if you've never used Windows Azure before, right now we have down the side a kind of palette of things that you can go and build. At the bottom, we've got this tray concept, which gives us some commands. And we've got a couple of drop-downs at the top, and we'll kind of tour around a few of these things. So the first thing it says, hey, look, it looks like we're new. Yes.
Yes, we are new right now.
We'll create something to get started. So let's go and create an item. And I always think the first thing to go and create is a virtual machine. So I'm going to say virtual machine, and I'm going to do a quick create. And I promised David that I wouldn't talk very much about virtual machines because we're going to talk about virtual machines all day. So I'm simply going to create a virtual machine and not really explain very much because we're going to get there. So I'm going to call Bacon MVA because everything's better with bacon, right?
That's right.
Awesome. I cannot talk and type complex passwords at the same time and get them right. Strangely enough, let's go into East US 2 because that's fun. We do make it. I'm going to talk about it. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I am.
No, hey.
Username. We need to give it a username.
Oh, that, okay.
Ta-da. Strangely enough, we don't just enable administrator for you. And this is just part of the extra controls we have to try and protect you. Because this DNS name, Bacon MVA, is actually on the public internet. And we do open up a port to allow you to RDP into it. So we want to make sure that, A, you're in control of the DNS name, but, B, you're also specifying a kind of user account. So I'm going to create the virtual machine, and I only mentioned half the dialog box there. Pretty good. And it's going to take about 6 minutes to provision this machine. It's going to be a Server 2012 data center edition. And we're going to come back to that in a minute, and we might RDP into it. We might not. David's just looked at me.
Well, we got websites, too.
We got websites,
too. That's part of the game. Here,
I'm
going to
show websites. I'm getting there. So virtual machines is part, a very small part of our whole infrastructure services piece. I think the industry term is IaaS, which always sounds like I'm saying IIS wrong. But it, infrastructure as a service. I want to talk a little bit about some of our application services, which industry term is PaaS, or P-A-A-S. Right. Or platform as a service. And probably the easiest one to show you and get your head around is this website. So I want you to kind of imagine that you're deploying a website, and it could be, hey, let's spin up a blog or a digital marketing site. There's a few ways we could do that, right? One is we could go and create a virtual machine, and once the virtual machine spins up, we could install IIS, we could put SQL Server on there, we could deploy our little blog or application. And that certainly would work, and it's a great way to do it. But there is another way. If we go to websites, what we can do is we can kind of have Microsoft provide that server and IIS and take care of patching it and managing it and kind of making sure it's running. So I'm going to go ahead and create a website, and I'm going to do a create from gallery. And what we've done is, if you're familiar with our WebPI technology, which allows you to kind of do some pretty good configuration and install applications into IIS on Windows Server, we've got a similar concept here with Windows Azure, in that we could either create a website and let you deploy some code into that, or we could pick one of the templates, if you like. So if I look through the gallery, I've got things like .NET Nuke, I've got Drupal, I've got Dasblog, Joomla, Orchard, and my Umbraco, and my favorite WordPress. So I'm going to deploy a WordPress site.
Let's do that. Us IT pros, we blog too, right? So
do
hey,
you?
Yeah, I do. I mean, itproguy.com. Hey, there you go. Plugging it.
I would plug my blog, but the last time I blogged was a while ago, so I'm not. I'm going to click on next and just ignore it. So let's do this. The Bacon MVA blog. It's going to be live very soon, and you know, WordPress is very interesting because, first of all, it's not really a Microsoft thing, right? It runs PHP against a MySQL server. Mm-hmm. A little tear coming my eye there. So if you really want to run WordPress right, you've got to use a MySQL database. And what we've done is we've enabled this. So Windows Azure doesn't just bring Microsoft technologies in a kind of accessible way to you. It provides our partners' technologies as well. So what we're going to do is we create this WordPress site. We're going to have Windows Azure create a MySQL database as well. Again, we can pick the location. I'm going to go into North Central US, and we'll click on next. Now, it goes, oh, my goodness me, we need to create a MySQL database for you, and you don't have one. And you know what? Microsoft aren't the best people to be running a MySQL database, thinking about it. So we've actually partnered with a company called ClearDB, who actually provide MySQL databases as a service on Windows Azure. And we've integrated this experience into the portal so that you don't have to kind of go, right, now I've got to go somewhere else to go and create a MySQL database. We can do it all in one place. So I'm going to agree to the terms and conditions there. And I'm going to click on the tick box. And that's it. We're going to have a WordPress site up and running in about a minute. So it's going to create us a folder basically on an IIS server. It's going to deploy a MySQL database and wire the two things up. And then when we connect to it, it's going to be ready for us to go through the kind of WordPress wizard. And we'll do that in a few seconds once it's finished. It's funny when we're doing demos and we're waiting for Azure to go and do its thing. There's always kind of like, oh my gosh, I've got to kind of kill time here, or it's running really slowly. And I always kind of try and remember, like, how long would it take me to deploy a website with a MySQL database without Azure? Wouldn't be measured in 1 or 2 minutes. It would be measured in maybe a couple of hours if I'm really good and really automated, but sometimes it would be even longer than that, right?
Well, and assuming that you also you have the infrastructure in place, right?
Absolutely.
So you'd have to have that that the hardware right there available for you to fire up.
Yeah, and we always have spare capacity, right? So here's my website created. I'm going to just jump into this, and I'm going to click on browse, and it's going to take me up to the website, and I guess part of this is just getting through this. Outlook.com. And this is going to run the thing there. I always do this when we're we're broadcasting live because other people help us out and actually fill out the thing there. And now WordPress is installed. Its famous 5-minute installation now includes actually getting all of the hardware provisioned and the database provisioned, mm-hmm. Which is pretty good. Let's go back to Windows Azure.
So we have one question while you're mm-hmm. switching over, that which is, what is the difference between SQL on a VM and SQL Azure? I would say a similar question might be, what is the difference between infrastructure as a service and platform as a service? And with that, I have, if you want to switch to my machine here, I have a sample slide on that, give a quick explanation.
Yeah.
Because I know sometimes this can be confusing of what the deal is here. So let's pop up to this guy. I have to allow this. I'm using the Office web app. But you know, and I'm going to dig into this later on in the day more specifically, but at a really high level, right, it really depends on what kind of infrastructure you're managing, right? So when I look at virtualization as kind of the old school. You know, the old school, it's like, yeah. Oh, well, I'm highly virtualized. Oh, you're using VMware or Hyper-V or whatever. Okay, that's like, that was a long time ago, right? Yeah. You move to, let's say, perhaps a private cloud, or after that, you then shift to move your infrastructure to infrastructure as a service hosting somewhere else. What you can do is have that difference of from infrastructure as a service to platform as a service of managing less, right? So at platform as a service, you're not going to have to patch the machines.
Yeah.
You're not going to have to do all the management of the underlying operating system.
Totally.
Yeah, and this is not the right slide. It, you know, so you can go back to David's machine.
Beautiful. Decided that. That's right. The slide that you really.
That's not to. Yes. No.
So, back. Kind of what we've got here is we've created a website and a database without having to worry about the infrastructure underneath it. So we didn't have to go in and create a virtual machine or install MySQL and configure MySQL. Someone else has done that. Someone else is managing all of that infrastructure for us. So we can just get on and use the database and use the website. So here's my Bacon MVA. It's running WordPress now, and we've got this kind of little welcome screen. If I click into the dashboard, it's going to give us some kind of key metrics about the site there. And it's going to give us, first of all, this dashboard will show some CPU usage, some data in and out, some really kind of high-level KPIs. If I scroll down a little bit, it gives me some really useful information in terms of what my usage has been over the last kind of few minutes. And we're actually running this site in a free mode, so I'm not paying anything to run this site. And in return, I have some restrictions on how much CPU I can use, how much traffic I can use, and so on. We can also go in and view connection strings and that kind of thing. I'm not going to because it's going to show our database password. But we do have a linked resource here, and we could go through and manage this as part of CloudDB's database service as well. In fact, we could get the connection string for this MySQL database, plug it into our MySQL tool, and just go ahead and manage that. Now, this is all well and good, but let's go and have a look at the scale tab, because this is something you don't get when you're deploying the infrastructure yourself, is this scale tab. And there's a couple of things I want to talk through here. First of all, we're running in free mode, so we have these kind of limitations. And this is great, because if our devs or our marketing team are just putting together the content on the site, we haven't yet rolled it out, we can be in free mode, because we don't have that much traffic and that much usage. And that's great, so our developers can go ahead and just deploy things. When we start kind of have people testing, and we start rolling it out into production, we might want to move into a shared or a reserved mode. So shared mode basically removes those limits, but I'm going to have to pay. So the meter starts running. But when we want to go really big, I can move into reserved mode. And when I move into reserved mode, I get my own dedicated servers running my website. And I can pick a size of server to run my website from small through to large. I'm going to stick with small. And then I can decide how many instances I'd like to run. So I'm going to start off, and we're going to just move that little slider along. So we're going to go into reserved mode with two instances. I'm going to click on save. It says, are you sure you want to upgrade? It might take several minutes to complete. So good, we'll let that go ahead on there. And essentially what we're doing is we're taking this IIS site, putting it on its own dedicated box. And because we're putting it on two boxes, we're going to put a load balancer in front of it, and it's finished. It's done. It's actually faster than I can describe what's going on. So we've now got this website running on two boxes, this WordPress site. The load balancer is going to round robin between the two sites for us. And we'll show you a little bit later today how we can do this in virtual machines as well. But if I then suddenly get perhaps David features this website on one of these shows, we can kind of slide this up and say, right, all of a sudden I need eight instances, and I'm going to click on save and click past the warning that says this might increase your bill. Yes, it will. And that can be on eight servers in about 20, 30 seconds. And this is very powerful because we're now running it on 8 servers behind a load balancer.
Right.
Now,
there was no patching, no rebooting.
I haven't RDP'd anywhere. I haven't even run any PowerShell to do it. I've dragged a HTML5 control across that, quite frankly, I could have done on my kind of favorite Surface device at home or on my phone and just moved the slider along. Very powerful. And equally, you know, when we're done, the beauty about the economics in the cloud is I'm going to be paying for these 8 instances. But if I suddenly don't need the capacity anymore, I can just drag that back down, click on save, and we'll go back down to 2 instances. And that meter will stop on the 8 instances, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'm only going to pay,
definitely.
Pay for what I need.
That is the power of the platform as a service.
Cool. I'm pleased this is running like a dream today.
Yeah.
On there. Cool.
So you spun up a VM earlier, right?
I did. I wonder if it's running yet. It is. Ta-da.
There you
should
go.
Should we connect to it?
Yeah, you can do the quick connect.
I'm going to underwhelm you all. Engineering hit me because I said this is the most underwhelming demo on the planet because I created a VM. And I didn't really have to know anything. I wasn't really, you know, I didn't go and study a whole bunch to get there, really, did I?
Well, okay. So to give the opposite view of that, I'm not going to name any competitors here, but what I will say is that I've gone into a competitor's product, gone and created a virtual machine, and let me tell you, it was not very intuitive to do that. Whereas this, it's you just click, quick create.
Click, click,
you,
click.
You click on the VM, connect, you're RDP'd in, that's it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, so it's a pretty quick and easy to get going.
Yeah.
Right?
So we're RDPing into this box, and it's just a Windows server. And I can't stress this enough. People, there's a little bit of fear in the cloud. It's like, ooh, cloud, we don't understand it. But at some point, you have a Windows server running, and you can connect to it. And once you've connected to it, it is a Windows server. It has Server Manager. You can
do all the same stuff.
Do all the same things. You can put your favorite antivirus thing on. You can connect it up to the domain. You can deploy applications, add roles, add features, that kind of thing. It is just a Windows server. And everything you already know about Windows servers applies to a Windows server running in Windows Azure.
Right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, you are already experts on Windows Azure. How about that?
That's right.
Fantastic.
And, you know, you just need to know a little more about the plumbing to get that stuff up there, which is what I'm going to help you with in about 5 minutes.
Here. Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm pleased you pointed out that.
Yeah.
Because I can talk for literally days on this. So my machine's now RDP'd in. We have Server Manager running. It's got the dashboard in. We can go and configure this local server and do all that fun stuff. I'm not going to. David's going to kind of walk you through some other things. But it's an RDP session. That's the bottom line there. The last thing I want to show you, just before we kind of wrap up and kind of peel back the onion, so to speak, is another part of the service down the side here. And you see we've got mobile services, cloud services, networks, and SQL reporting, and a whole bunch of other things. The thing I want to show you is SQL databases. And I always show this because I always feel bad that I create a MySQL database, and I don't show a SQL Server database. I don't have any SQL databases. Now, I want you to kind of think, if I was to deploy a SQL Server, a Windows Server running SQL Server, there's probably a whole bunch of steps I'd go through. I'd deploy the server, patch it, install SQL, patch it, create my accounts, create databases, worry about where the database files were going to go on the disk and that kind of thing. So I'm going to do exactly the same set of tasks here. So I'm going to create a database. I'm going to give it a name. I'm going to ignore all those things. I'm going to create, I don't have a database server, so I'm going to say, give me a new one. I'm going to click on next. I'm going to give it a login name and a password. I wish I could talk and type passwords. I've tried talking and typing passwords, and it takes me about 10 attempts to get this right. I'm going to click on complete, and it's going to go away and, did it give me an error there?
See, so one of the questions that we had is, you know, is do you always have to use the Windows Azure website's domain name? Well, once you're in, when you're in the free mode, you definitely have to use that domain name. But if you move to a shared or reserved, you have the option then to add in your own domain name for whatever your website is.
Absolutely. So just same as you would do on premises, I guess, with an IIS box. You have your machine name, but you would have a CNAME coming into it. And that's how you do it.
Yeah.
So this is going to create the database now. So I had a little snafu. I don't know what happened, but it's going ahead and creating it now. It's also building me a new virtual SQL Server. We don't go and create a new one because we are in a multi-tenanted environment. And within about a minute or two, I'll have a database that I can connect to. And it is just a SQL database. I can create tables, stored procedures, views, indexes. I can use my SQL Server management tools to connect to it. I can import and export data, and it's just a SQL database. But I don't have to manage the infrastructure around that. And it's great for building apps, and developers love kind of using this. Great. Well,
but as an IT guy, right? I mean, you might be the guy that helps manage that underlying SQL database, gets that set up, or manages the billing, perhaps, for that SQL database, right? And if you're an architecture or DBA, DBA is always a fun one for those DBAs who might be watching. We appreciate you too,
yeah.
Right? Because you always kind of are in between.
We want to be inclusive.
That's right. We're inclusive. You are, you know, sometimes filling the hat of dev IT. You have your DBA, right? And
yeah.
You know, this SQL Azure is a great option to connect on prem with the always on.
Absolutely,
or some of the
yeah.
other features
yeah.
that are there.
And you know, it's not a case of SQL databases replacing SQL Server by no stretch of the imagination are we saying that. It gives you more options. And the way to think about the Windows Azure portal is this palette of tools that you can use to kind of help get your job done, quite frankly. And don't think of it as like, oh, now you can create servers, what am I going to do? You're still going to create servers. You're still going to manage the servers. You're just going to do it so much faster that you're going to start getting ahead of the demands of the business, quite frankly, and become like, bring it on, right? Because nothing's going to stop you, nothing's going to get in the way. So with that kind of said, I think we want to kind of close this kind of quick overview over. We've given you a little kind of snippet view of Windows Azure. There's a ton of things we could go and do. We could go and create mobile services and media services and a whole bunch of stuff. But I think we've had a great little overview, and I think it's now time to get into the meat, so to speak.
Yeah, definitely.
And have a look at
how to get it done.
Absolutely.
Right? One question I want to answer from the queue, which is interesting, related to the data centers and Windows Azure, is what does Windows Azure run underneath? Well, no surprise there.
Shock. The suspense is killing me. David, tell us.
Hyper-V.
Yes.
Wow.
It's running. and a little bit of explanation is required, I think, because Windows Azure has been out in market for, well, it's been around for, I've been doing this for like 5.5 years. And we didn't always run on Windows Server. In fact, when we started the project, there was some things that we felt we needed that Windows Server wasn't providing at the time. So we had this version of Server 2008 that we tweaked a little bit to kind of help us. And then a lot of that innovation goes back into Windows Server 2012. So when that was available, we actually went through our entire data center and replaced all of the modified SQL, modified Server 2008 with stock Server 2012. We're not using Core yet, although we're going to move to Core. But we're just using stock 2012 Windows Server as the host OS on there. So it's the same stuff you're running, essentially. We're running it too, and why wouldn't we? I mean, that's right.
We gotta use our own stuff. All right, with that, we are going to close out this module, and stay tuned just a second here, and we're going to continue on with digging in.